We gotta spread this stuff around. Let's put it on the internet.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
And as far as, like, the whole false flag stuff goes, I feel like it's... I was thinking about this just now while we were talking. It's like, there probably is some grand conspiracy at work here. And, like, there's probably a lot of, like, chess pieces being moved that are way beyond my scope, at least. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure some of these conspiracy people may be right about some stuff. But it's like, I feel like I won't really be able to really know exactly what the hell's... I feel like we're in the midst of a very long sort of chapter that started on 9/11 and is still unfolding, and, you know,
yeah,
it won't be
started before
till,
that.
Yeah, exactly. You
all
know,
a lot of these groups in China and places like that, they think in terms of decades.
Exactly.
They don't think
exactly
what's going to happen next. They've got a long term plan, and you can chase them down here and there, back and forth, and all that. But they're like, well, we're going to be here in 20 years, so we don't care. We're just going to keep doing stuff.
Right.
So, you know, they don't plan to go anywhere. They don't plan to engage you directly or anything like that. They just plan to wear you down until they think that you'll finally just cave in.
Exactly. You know, so who knows what the hell's going to happen in the future? It is the Illuminati. Who knows? Someone in the chat says, damn Illuminati.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I think about all this is, if I was somebody in some position of power that I didn't want anybody to know what I was doing, I would take advantage of things. I wouldn't go out and do things because that takes far more effort.
Exactly. You can get caught.
I would take advantage of situations.
Exactly. Exactly. And if I've learned one thing from all these years of doing this stuff, it's like I said, I mean, 9/11 was like 14 years ago, 15 years ago now almost, or whatever. And, you know, people were like freaking out and saying it's going to, you know, everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket and everything. And it's like Greg said earlier, it's a slow boil, folks. Live your life. Don't freak out. Don't let this whole thing, like how we're fighting the New World Order, consume you, because the New World Order, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And they know it. And unfortunately, a lot of people think it's a sprint. So they start running around, you know, proselytizing about how we need to do something about it. It's like, you can't do anything about it, dude. So it's just the system.
Well, the only thing you do is I think that the thing I've settled on is, one, make your life as good as you could possibly make it for you and the people around you. And two, don't be afraid. And three, if you can do something that you think will be helpful, go ahead and do it. But, you know, these, you know, wake up America, Captain Caps Lock things is just, I don't even look at them anymore.
Mm. Exactly. It's just, yeah. Like I said, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And the power brokers know that. It's the people who are like, take every little day, everyday thing and blow it up into some huge conspiracy.
Yeah.
It's like,
how can you get back at them? Live your life well.
Yeah.
And make as much as you can, make life for other people as good as possible by, you know, helping them out and being nice and all that. I think that's the easiest way to fight back.
Yeah. Tune this shit out, man. Tune out the fear. That's all you get. That's all you can do. Now, speaking of two...
That's the only conclusion I can come to at this point.
Now, I think that covers ISIS, so we can talk... I don't know what else to say. Bad things are going to happen, people. I don't know that for certain, but, you know, it just seems natural. That's the way the world works. So, and it seems like that's the direction the world's going. So, you know, more bad shit will happen. It may not happen next year, though. You know, anyone who's like, oh, it's imminent, it's going to happen, you know, in this year or 6 months or what, we have no idea. Could be another 5 years before something as sort of impactful as the Paris thing happens. So
yeah, well, the thing is that whenever anybody makes a prediction, and I automatically think it's probably not going to come true. The predictions that are made that you don't hear about are probably the ones that come true, because the second that somebody says they can tell the future, starts telling everybody about it, I think if they had any talent about with it, it goes away. This is something that Dean Radin told me when I first interviewed him. He said he talked to people that said that they thought they had some kind of psychic thing, but as soon as they try to start making money off it or make a big deal out of it or tell everybody about it, it diminished it or got rid of it.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, the ego seems to kill that thing because it just introduces all this noise and you lose your whatever. If you believe in that kind of stuff, you lose your
mojo.
Yeah, I guess your lifeline or your your channel into that. Your tuner doesn't work anymore.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, it goes to something kind of that Eric Ouellette was talking about on the show earlier this year. It's sort of like, and it goes to sort of like just all that sort of like, I hate to say quantum physics because it probably has nothing to do with that, and people get all cringy and they get all annoyed about people who invoke you know what I mean? So it's like, quantum, you don't know anything about quantum physics. You don't know the first thing about it. So, but the point is like, it's like when someone's observing, it's like when you bring another person into the mix, then it messes up the whole process anyway. It's like someone could be really a good psychic, and if they just sit in their basement and be psychic, they'd probably do really well.
And, you know, maybe anonymously. Well, I don't know. You know, you know something bad's going to happen. You say something about it. People are going to think you're crazy and they don't do anything about it. And then you know, what do you do about that? And what if you're wrong? So best to just shut up about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you can't be that. Nobody's that good.
Oh, so speaking of tuning out, because we said tuning out earlier, I kind of ruined that segue, but the other big thing that fucking everybody was talking about, I hate to even bring it up, but that's all anyone was talking about this year, was Donald Trump. He was the breakout star of 2016, and goes to saying how everything was the same as ever. It's like he was sort of he's been around forever. It's not like he's some new dude no one had heard of before, but it's like all of a sudden he became the fucking biggest thing in the country since like June, and it's like really weird.
Yeah, well, I knew you were probably going to bring up Trump, and I've done my best to absolutely ignore anything about him over the last few months here, at least the last month or so. I finally got to the point, it's like, I don't want to hear any more about this idiot. I just don't. I have no use for him, and if he does get nominated, it's I used to think it was a joke, and I think it's kind of scary. And not because any Republican, any conservative thing or anything like that. I think the most dangerous thing about it is he doesn't listen to anybody.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's just, I'm right and you're not, and then that's it. And this is the way we're going to do things. Like, you know what, if he becomes president, he won't be able to do any of the stuff that he says because unless by executive order, because Congress will block it.
Right, right.
Like, you're crazy. No.
Exactly.
This is why, you know, years ago when, who was it? The computer guy from Texas.
Ross Perot?
Yeah, when Ross Perot was running. I don't think I was able to vote then, but I was talking to people about it, and it was kind of like, you know what? I think I was able to vote. I didn't vote. First, I was kind of interested, and I was like, this guy doesn't listen to anyone. He's not a political animal. He's an
animal.
Corporate. Yeah, he's a corporate guy. I think I was listening to, I can't remember who I was talking to. I think it was you, actually. And we were talking about, it was Alan Greenfield. I'm about to post that, actually, my interview with Alan Greenfield. But what he said was, you know, that we were talking about Lyndon Johnson. And I said, well, Lyndon Johnson, he was an asshole. But he was a political person, and he got things, you know, well, some by intimidation. But he realized that he had to come to compromises with people sometimes. If he couldn't steamroll them, he actually had to work with them.
Hmm.
And he was good at that. He was actually kind of good at getting what he wanted. But he was also good at making the other side think they got what they wanted, too, which is what you want in a leader. As well as somebody who takes advice from people and listens to people and considers their advice instead of just saying, I'm right and you're wrong and that's the end of it. I think that's my take on the danger of that guy is that he doesn't listen to anybody.
Yeah, yeah. He seems very one-dimensional. That's probably the best way to put it. You know, he seems very one-dimensional.
Stupid, you know, or whatever. I think most of what he does is an act.
Mm.
But I think there's also, you know, there's a, the person behind that is the source of that act.
Right.
All the real things that come off it. So, you know, it's the reason I don't like, I haven't paid attention to him is the old Westboro Baptist Church idea. If something bothers you and you pay attention to it, you like, because they went out and protested once, and somebody in the town said, nobody go out there, nobody listen to them, don't even show up. They got there, and they were there for 10 minutes and got mad because nobody was listening, and they left.
Right, right. Well, see, the unfortunate part is it's like out of our hands in a sense where it's like we can not listen, but they're covering him nonstop. Like,
yeah, well, I'm sick of hearing about him because it's the same shit over and over.
Right,
it's,
right.
It's
but they're
worse each time.
They're like force-feeding this dude on the country. It's very, you know, it's just very off-putting. I don't think he'll become president, but there's a part of me that's a little bit like, you know, I thought I've seen everything, you know, every time I think I've seen everything in this world, something crazy happens that I'm like, wow, I never, you know. So I never say never on almost anything at this point in my life.
Is anybody yelling in the chat room yet now? Like, God, what an idiot, or anything like that?
No. It's pretty quiet, so.
Oh, really? They must be enjoying. Or are they all tuned out?
Well, only one of them has a sleepy face next to them, so they're still there. They're just,
Sleepy face?
It puts a little icon that says sleeping on there. I have one because I haven't chatted in a while, but,
I thought they put it up there like, boring!
Oh, no. It's like an idol. Well, I figure people will get annoyed anyway by all the political talk, so we won't stick on it too long, but...
I almost never talk about politics because I don't really care too much about it. I mean, I care about it in the way that some people, you know, sort of care about sports. It's like, okay, it's kind of important. Like, well, not even that. It has some effect on my life, but not a whole hell of a lot. But, it, you know, I have to care because some of it affects vast amounts of people, and I care about most people. So
yeah.
That's the extent I care about it. But I'm not going to sit here and debate people on it. One, because I don't think I'm well-informed enough about certain things, and two, because what am I going to do, change their opinion?
Exactly. What's the point? Yeah.
Yeah, that's why a lot of times I don't argue with people about a lot of things. Unless I think that they're very smart and they're equitable, meaning they'll say, look, I see your point, but, and we go back and forth. Mm-hmm. That I like. But just somebody saying, you know, you're so stupid, you don't realize love, it's like, I don't care. I don't even want to hear you, even if you're right.
Yeah, when you lead with you're so stupid, then it's not a...
Well, what you know what I mean.
Yeah.
When somebody is basically, they're desperately trying to get you over to their point of view rather than to do what they should be doing, which is make sure that they know what they're talking about, and if they do know what they're talking about, show you in the best way possible that they know what they're talking about and that you might not. And if you do know what you're talking about, then there's a really good debate. And anybody listening... maybe can learn something. That's what I don't like about most debates. It's like most people don't know how to debate. They just yell at each other.
Right.
But a good discussion and debate, if you're undecided, it might push you in a direction. I stopped, it wasn't a debate, but I saw the argument against the death penalty from, I can't remember who it was. It was a retired Supreme Court justice, somebody mm-hmm. who had retired. They didn't serve out the, you know, I guess you're in there for life if you're in the court.
Yeah, but I think most of them leave like before they die, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah,
actually,
somebody he was a judge that a Supreme Court justice that had been for the death penalty, and he had changed his mind. And they published in the New York Times, I think, a big long essay that he wrote, unedited, I guess, of how he had changed his mind, and it changed my mind.
Yeah.
You know, it changed my mind from pro-death penalty to anti. And the basic thing, if you boil all of what he said down to, is like, if there's one mistake made, it's wrong. Yep. And there's mistakes made all the time.
I know.
Not all the time,
well,
but
I know
more than
you're
one.
Itching to talk about, let's do that. Let's segue from the election, because I can hear the people being like, so we'll move on from that. We'll reflect on it on next year's special, because it's all foreplay anyway. They haven't even cast any fucking votes yet, so
yeah, I know.
We're
not even going to know until this summer sometime.
Exactly. So let's move on. In a sense, I don't know what else to talk about for the year in review, so we're just going to talk. 2015.
Well, you had a list of things, and we went through most of them. I mean,
we covered a lot of shit here. I mean, we covered everything I can think of.
Somebody in the forum wants to say, well, why didn't you talk about blah, blah, blah? They should, because then we will.
Exactly. If someone in the chat has a story from 2015 they want us to talk about, go for it. But you have been watching, and everyone's talking about this show right now. You've been watching the Netflix program Making of a Murderer, correct?
Or yeah, Making a Murderer, I think. Yes,
one of the other.
I'm 3/4 of the way through it, and then I read a review and I read the spoiler, so now I know how it ends up. But I'm still going to finish watching. I'm on episode what, 7 of 9?
10.
Or 10? Okay, so I'm on episode 7 of 10. But yeah, I've been watching it like a fiend for like 4 days.
Yeah. That happened to me. I almost never binge watch shows. I'm not one of those people.
Me either.
It's really weird, yeah. But I was like, once I started it, you know what it is, too? I think I couldn't watch anything longer. 10 was just about my limit. And it's like, since I know it has an ending, I have, you know, I can kind of commit to. I just felt like it was a long 10-hour documentary more than anything, so.
Well, it's a 2-long 10-hour documentary, but the thing is that, yeah, you know what, I'm getting to the point where I'm kind of getting to the point at about episode 7 here. It's kind of getting drawn out. But the cool thing about it is people don't know what's going on here. It's a documentary about a guy that was railroaded by the police and in jail for 18 years. He was exonerated by DNA evidence. They took him out, and then he sued the county in Wisconsin where he was unjustly imprisoned. And within like a week after he brought suit against them, a woman was murdered, and the authorities in the same county charged him with the murder. And what the prosecution is trying to do is, you know, on evidence collected by that, some by the same department that had screwed him in the first place, they try to prove that he's guilty, and then he has defense lawyers that try to prove that a lot of the evidence was planted.
Right.
Or he was railroaded, or was being railroaded again, partially as, you know, revenge for being made to look stupid or bad from the first one. And the cool thing about it is, you know, I guess it, you know, it would be kind of boring if you they didn't have all the background. All the courtroom stuff is actually kind of compelling for the first, you know, 3 hours.
Right.
But the thing about it is, I read an interview with the filmmakers, and they said, we did our best not to try and come down on some side and say that he was innocent and he was being railroaded. And I think that's what they did, but I'm watching it, and it really seems to me that they're trying to emphasize that he might be innocent.
Hmm.
And the funny thing is that I don't think I read anything online where people said that they were too much on the prosecution side where he wasn't innocent and that they didn't, you know,
right.
That they didn't push that enough. I'm struggling with the fact that the way I see it, it looks like he probably got railroaded. I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all. But the thing that the film is good at is cliffhanging you at the end of each episode.
Yeah. They do a great job
really,
of that. Yeah.
Yeah, really good cliffhanger. She's like, oh, God, I got to see the next one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you like this, dude, you should watch The Jinx. That was amazing. This was with Serial, The Jinx, and then this. It's like the year of the sort of true crime docu-series. There's going to be more of these.
I hadn't seen them.
Yeah. I guess Serial's good, but I never got into it. But I loved The Jinx, so thought that was fantastic.
Okay, well, I got to check that, too. See, what this brought up for me also is at the time when O.J. Simpson was on trial here in L.A., you know, everybody saw this. And this happened, you know, like 4 miles from my place, chasing him up the freeway and all this. And then I actually went downtown and stood like 3 blocks from the courthouse as the verdict was read.
Really?
Before listening on the radio. And I actually I've got it somewhere. I took a picture of everybody's faces when they read the verdict, and there's like 5 people with their mouths open.
Nice. Did you hold a Free the Juice sign?
No. what I was trying to say about it, Shaggy Dog background, was that people had very strong opinions about it. It's like, that guy's guilty. He's so guilty. And I was like, how do you – God, it's so obvious. Like, were you sitting in the courtroom the entire time? How can you be so sure? You know? And I kind of thought he was guilty, but I didn't get hot under the collar about it because I couldn't know for sure.
Right.
Even if I was sitting in the courtroom, I probably couldn't know for sure, but I didn't hear every second of testimony. if somebody was in the courtroom and heard every second of testimony, I would take their opinion a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of all that. Talk about being real. They ended up getting him in, you know. He's kind of like that kid down in Texas there who did you hear about that whole thing? He ran away to Mexico for a while recently. The kid who got
The affluenza kid?
Yes, the affluenza kid, where they said even if they bring him when they get him back to Texas and shit, because the way the law is, the most he can only serve actually in jail is like 120 days, and then after that he's an adult or whatever, and they have to let him go, but he's on like a 60-year probation or some shit like that, so or 10 years probation or something crazy like that, where it's like you're almost you know he's gonna fuck up, you know he's gonna like you know they're gonna get him for something else, and he'll end up in real jail eventually. That's what happened to OJ.
Maybe, probably. Yeah, that's the point of the making a murderer, is that I didn't even really think about this when you're watching because they don't really bring it up. They kind of you kind of see it, but the community where this happened, people really don't like them. They consider them just like a white trash family. They don't really care about them, and that you know if the guy dressed nicer or they had more money or acted like it or whatever, then it wouldn't be such a problem. But there's a prejudice against them because they're you know they're not poor, but they're not you know they're not living up to a community standard, I guess, out there in Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah, they're
so there you know everybody
eccentric almost
them,
too. Yeah.
Communities against them to begin with. So I don't even know why they had the trial in the same county where everybody had seen the news coverage and pretty much kind of thought he was guilty in the first place anyway.
I think I read a lot about the show since I finished it. And I guess the idea the defense attorney said was that they thought that he'd get some sympathy from the jury because he had already, because they all knew
right.
them from the area, you know, and then he had spent 18 years in prison. So it was like, you know, at least there'd be someone sympathetic to it. But I don't know. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It doesn't sound like, you know, he has much chance, but there's like this outcry now. So who knows? Maybe. He'll get a new trial. I don't know. I don't know how it all works. There's always these, even though everybody, because like there's this, it's funny in a way, because it's like the old thing. I'm sure you've run into this, where it's people are like, free. It's my freedom of speech. It's in the Constitution. You can't tell, you know. And it's like, dude, you can't yell fuck in the movie theater. Okay, it's like not. It's like it doesn't matter. You don't have freedom of speech like everywhere on forever. You know what I mean? So people who seem to mistake that. First Amendment right for just being able to say anything when it's just the government that can't censor you or whatever. And it's like,
yeah.
So there's a petition online where it's like, President Obama, you have to pardon Stephen Avery and his nephew. And it's like, even in the articles about the petition, it's like, he can't, it's great that there's 200,000 signatures, but Obama can't pardon him. He went to jail in Wisconsin. It's like,
yeah.
It's like only the governor can. You don't even, you people are insane. You don't know what you're talking about. Like you're wasting your time. So
yeah.
It's just funny in a way.
Yeah. But the other point that the filmmakers made was that the point they wanted to make was that the justice system can be really screwed up.
Yeah.
And they show that in the film. I mean, whether you agree with what happened, you know, if he was guilty or whatever or not, it's just like there's so many ways people have found over the centuries and so many ways to railroad a person if they really want to, especially if the person is not, you know, some upstanding, quote-unquote upstanding member of the community or isn't white or isn't rich or isn't whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And so they did make that point, which I thought was good, which is what, you know, a documentary should do. It's just, it should, whether, you know, you agree with what happened to him or not, it should point out a problem and make people aware of it, you know. There we go with that part of, you know, what can you do? Yeah, well, but they did something. They pointed out what they thought was a problem and made a lot of people aware of it by presenting it in a
entertaining,
compelling, entertaining way.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, Thin Blue Line did that. There's a few others.
The Thin Blue Line.
Who made that? That was Earl Morris, I think, did that. He,
yeah.
one of my favorite documentaries. Kimball likes Errol Morris a lot, too.
I don't think I've ever seen it, but...
Errol Morris. E-R-R-O-L. Errol. Yeah, Errol Morris.
There you go.
He did Fog of War. He talked to, what's his name, who was Kennedy's... I can't remember his name, but Kennedy's Secretary of Defense. I can't remember his name now. Mixed-race black guy. I can't remember his name, damn it. Anyway, he talked to him, and that was an amazing documentary. It's just him talking. And he had another documentary called Dr. Death about this guy that invented ways to execute people.
Really?
And sold these to different states for their death penalty. And then suddenly the guy, for some reason, got all involved in Holocaust denial, and then that blew up really huge, and
Jesus.
He got even out of trouble for it. It was a really good documentary if you ever get a chance.
It's always the worst when you have a guest and then they end up being a Holocaust denier. Oh my God! Crazy.
No. He was a. I don't know why he got involved in it, but apparently for some reason went to Germany.
Oh God!
Got a sample like from one of the old concentration camp gas chambers and. Said, I did not find any traces of cyanide gas on here. It's like, did anybody just, you know, make the point that the thing is, you know, 50, 60 years old?
Oh, my God.
And maybe some of that stuff might have been worn away by now by being exposed to the elements? No, and he got in a huge amount of trouble, and I think he's Canadian, the Canadian government, because I guess you can't say that in Canada. But the Canadian government actually imprisoned him for a while for saying that.
Well, yeah. Trying to think, Making of a Murder. Good movie. It's a good show, folks. Check it out if you haven't seen it yet. It raises a lot of questions, you know. It keeps, you know, to tie into the sort of theme of, like, year in review and sort of broad picture thing and all that. It's like...
When did that come out? When was that first put up on Netflix?
Like December 18th?
Oh, okay, so it was really, really recent. Okay, so it did sneak in under the wire at the end of...
Yeah.
But yeah, you or somebody or a few people are saying, you got to watch this.
Oh, everybody's talking about it now. A lot of people, I think, watched it over the holidays. I did. I watched it over Christmas weekend. I thought it was amazing. So it's outstanding. I like that kind of stuff, too. I like those true kind of things.
Oh, I love them. I've liked them since, I don't know how... long, but I think almost everybody does. I used to be really into true crime stuff to the point where now I've already mentioned, I have to say it. I actually had a John Wayne Gacy painting.
Really?
Yeah, when I was like 22 or 23.
How'd you get that?
I bought it.
Was it expensive?
I think it was like $300.
Wow. Do you still have it?
No, I sold it.
Did it improve in value? Must have.
It did, but the thing was that after a while, as I got older, I realized how stupid, sick, and wrong it was for me to have that thing.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I finally got to the point, like, why do I even have this thing? This is stupid. People died horribly at his hands, and I've got a stupid painting by him. So I sold it to some gallery owner because my car was, I was poor at that point. My car, if I had a conscience, I should have just given it to somebody. But it got... In a weird way, it got my car out of hock because I had insurance couldn't pay the deductible on my car that was in the shop that had been in an accident, and
yeah.
So I sold the painting to a gallery owner for actually not very much more than I paid for.
Wow.
But I needed the money at the time. Yeah. So I think I got like $450 for it.
I don't know
what he did with it, but you know.
I'm afraid to ask. Was it a painting of a clown?
Yes.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'd want it in my home or anything, but it sounds so...
I had it in my home, and it started to piss people off and freak them out, and after a while I realized exactly why it was doing that, because I got older and matured a bit and thought, yeah, you're right, this is stupid. Actually, I should have burnt it.
Yeah, well, it's just weird. It's just weird that, yeah. How long ago was this, like 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because I bet you.
No, it was a long, long time. It was before I even started doing the Excluded Middle magazine and all that. It was
like 20 years ago.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s, I got rid of it. I had it for like a year or two, something like that. So I actually didn't have it for a hell of a long time before I just thought that it was probably not the thing to do.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's creepy. But,
well, you know, besides the creep factor, it's just, you know, what am I doing with, you know, owning something basically built on the backs of a bunch of people that died horribly?
Right, right. It's like you're celebrating. The only reason why the painting is of any value is because he was such a horror, you know, that he killed all these people and shit. So it's like,
yeah.
Why are you celebrating that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very...
Now everybody's listening to the show is going to think I'm a horrible person. Whatever.
No,
I brought it up, and I figured I better just come out and say what was going on. I wonder what people are saying at this point.
If I've learned anything about your fans, dude, it's that they're obsessed. So they'll
what?
Yeah, I've noticed it here. I don't even want to say what some of them have said in the chat room because it's the obsession borders on harassment. Because I will say it actually, because much like
yeah,
the painting,
please do. I want to know.
when I said earlier, do you have any questions? Do the folks in the chat room have any questions when we said all that? First question: why does Greg go so long between Radio Mysterioso downloads? A month between posts is too long.
It is too long, and they're right.
I know, but it's like, leave the man alone. Then the next one. Radio Mysterioso starts basically at bedtime, so I usually miss out on the live show or fall asleep in the middle. I wish you would catch up with the editing and posting. There are a couple I really want to hear. That's two,
well,
just two
Alan
different
Greenfield,
people.
I just finished Alan Greenfield's interview today. I will post it tonight or tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So I wanted to actually finish that so that when I came on the show, I could say, hey, there's another one coming up here. And then after that, I'm going to work on Mike Cleland. I haven't had him on in a while, and it's topical because of his book, which I'm enjoying. And
nice.
Then there's one with Red Pill and one with Burt State where I just basically had little conversations with him, and I'll put them on later because they're basically friends, and we just had friendly conversations.
Hmm.
So, yeah, at first I was like kind of like, well, I should put the people up in order. And now I'm thinking, well, somebody that's like pushing a book or whatever, I kind of should have them on, you know, first. And the last one was Go Rightly and I at the Blood Moon thing, which was like in October. So, you know, I've got, Alan Greenfield, which was a really good interview. I forgot how much fun I had. That'll be up within a day.
Mm.
And then probably within another few days, I'll get Mike Cullen's interview up.
Nice. Yeah.
So
they're not saying anything bad about you. It's just, you know, it's like, leave the man alone. He's trying to.
Yeah, I feel some pressure because people listen. I mean, it's free and all that, you know, and you can say, God damn it, be patient. But the thing is, the show's supposed to be every week. It's not quite every week. And now it's going to be a little different because of working for Coast to Coast 2 Sundays a month where I can't actually do the show live.
Mm. Well, it's...
I will pre-record some of them, which I don't like doing, but for, like, certain guests, like, I'm trying to get Chris Albeck on now, the guy that wrote Wonders in the Sky with Valet.
It's good if you want to interview people in other countries and shit.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't plan stopping. I just, things slowed down for a while because I'm trying to finish that book.
Exactly. You're busy. But no pressure, like I said. But to go back to the painting, yeah. So the people, they'll be thrilled to know that you unleashed this tidbit of Bishop trivia. So the people.
Yes, a part of my sordid past, which is probably the only really sordid thing I have that I can think of, unless there's other stuff I've blocked out.
And it's not even that sordid.
I've never been arrested. You know. I haven't been addicted to drugs. So sorry.
Exactly. It's not even that sorted. I'll give you a pass for it. You're in your 20s.
Oh, okay.
So
it does good to it does the soul good to whatchamacallit, to confess, I guess.
There you go. So let me think here. You're in review. We got like 20 minutes left. Let me make sure we do the hot and not at the end of the thing. I never go back and check these anyway, but I think, actually, there's one other thing we should talk about that we touched on Radio Mysterioso the other night that I sort of held back because I wanted to talk about it on this show. There's not much to say. I don't think we're on the same page. I don't think you know what I'm talking about because, maybe you do. But I wanted to just say the Hillary Clinton UFO thing, it got picked up everywhere, but nobody responded. Donald Trump never said anything, and, you know, it just died out there. And so I don't have any faith that this is going to be the new UFO election that everyone – well, not everyone, that some folks hope it's going to be. That I just don't – I've seen this movie too many times. I'm surprised Hillary said something about UFOs, which she did, folks, if you haven't heard. And some strong shit, really.
Well, she got asked a question.
Hmm?
She got asked a question. She was answering a question from somebody.
Right, right. But I thought her stance was fairly strong. I thought it was kind of interesting because she was like, I think we've been visited before, but we don't know for sure. I thought that was kind of a bold thing to say, but, you know. And
yeah.
It blew up everywhere. But, again, it didn't blow up in, like, it blew up, but it didn't get any traction, you know. So unless Donald Trump or somebody says something in the next few days, I think this thing is going to wither away and you're not going to hear any more UFO stuff around the election.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not going to because it's just not anything that any election hinges on ever.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think she was just trying to be nice and answer the question and not seem like, you know, not seem like Trump does. It's like, I'm not answering that crap. You know, like,
right, right. So that was the last, that's the bridge to the predictions and hot and not, or what, not really predictions, but the hot and not stuff here. Closing out the year, because because I was going to say, I think UFOs and ufology will stay where it's at. I don't think the only thing that could possibly change it is the UFOs. It's in their hands, I feel. So if they, you know, do something spectacular, then maybe something cool will happen. But although I should mention this, it'll be interesting to see the. Because you were around in that era. It was before my time.
You were around in that era, you old person.
No, I was around, but I wasn't in the scene during the era of...
I was mocking you. I was around in that era, you old person. Go ahead.
The X-Files era. Because with X-Files coming back, who knows? Everyone says the X-Files, like, was a huge phenomenon, and like we said, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. You know, it seemed to make UFOs cool for, like, you know, a better part of a decade or something. And, you know, so who knows? X-Files is coming back in 2016. Maybe UFOs will get a bump from that. Let's hope.
Yeah, maybe. I've said this before, but I never really watched that show.
I never
like
did either.
Four of them, and I they're okay, but I never cared that much. And people said, good, you're totally into that stuff. Why aren't you? It's like, and the reason was that the few of them I did watch, I was like, and that's so much better. There's so much more to that story. And, you know,
So
I'd be frustrated. If you don't know where the material comes from, it's quite compelling. But if you're immersed in the material that they use for some of the shows, you're just kind of like, yeah, so, no, that's not what that meant. You know, you turn into an anti-fanboy almost.
Hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. I never really got into it either, so. But I heard it was like a big to-do for a while, so maybe...
No, I watched a few of them, and I enjoyed a few of them. But there was one, I can't remember the name of it, but basically it was the UFO show, and there were references to everything in the show was UFOs and references to UFOs, references to, you know, personalities and cases and everything. So it was kind of fun to watch how they worked all the old UFO cases and personalities and concepts and all that into the show.
Right. Yeah. That's one of those where it's like, I'd binge watch it if it was like 13 episodes, but it's something like 70 or 80 or 90 episodes. Who the fuck has time for that? I don't have time to watch 90 episodes of anything.
No, I don't either. Even stuff I really liked, you know, I've got one of my favorite shows ever, which I don't talk about, was Pennies from Heaven. And there's, I think, 6 or 8 of them, or maybe more.
Mm.
It was a British TV show from the early 1980s. I didn't see it when it first came out. Bob Hoskins, it was his first starring role.
Oh, wow.
And he's amazing in it. But, you know, people probably know it from the Steve Martin movie that they made, basically, on the same writer, the Hollywood movie that they made, which is not nearly as good as the original TV show. But that's one thing I have binge-watched, and I actually have it on all my devices, and every once in a while I watch bits and pieces of it. It's set in the 1930s. It's about a guy that is accused of murder, and wrongly accused of murder. But
I'm sensing a trend.
He's got a horrible life, or he thinks he does, and every, you know, the songs make him happy. So every once in a while, there's like a 1930s recording of a song comes on, and the characters in the show just starts like lip syncing it, and it's done really well. And if for some reason, I think that's probably my favorite show ever. Strange enough.
Interesting. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Pennies from Heaven with Bob Hoskins. I don't know where you can. I rented it from like a little video store and ripped copies of the DVDs just so I could have it. That's the only way I have it. I think you can still find it here. You can find bits and pieces of it online. If you go to YouTube, there's a bunch of segments from it.
Pennies from Heaven. Check it out, folks.
Yeah, it's very strange. The writer Dennis Potter, I really like a lot. He was a TV writer for the BBC for many years, and then he died of I can't remember what the disease was, but
probably cancer.
No, it wasn't cancer. It was something else. But there was a. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah.
But that is my favorite program ever. It just, for some reason, really, it strikes a chord with me.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, that's funny. It reminds me of like my favorite movie as a kid. It was like, have you ever seen Super Fuzz?
No, but I heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. They used to show it, I think, on HBO all the time or something, but it was on constantly when I was a kid. Then all of a sudden it just disappeared. But it was like this dude, he was like in a radioactive, something happened, he witnessed a, you know, a missile launch test or some shit, and he got superpowers, but he would lose them when he saw the color red. And I think Ernest Borgnine was in it with him. I think he was a cop, and Ernest Borgnine was his partner, and it was like just the weirdest. This is a weird movie. I don't know. Captivated me. But, like, it disappeared. And it was one of those things like the Berenstain Bears thing. Have you heard of that thing that got big this year? Where
yes.
It's like people insist that the Berenstain Bears is like a time slip theory, like the Nelson Mandela thing. And for me, it was like that was Super Fuzz. It was like, did that movie exist? I don't even remember. Like, I remember this movie, but it's before the internet. I couldn't find out what the fuck it was or where it came from or what the name of it was. Thankfully, with the internet now, you can pretty much figure out anything like that, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how that's how people can look at these pieces of Pennies from Heaven. And I don't know. I don't know anybody else that's into that show as much as I am. I don't really have any Pennies from Heaven buddies. He did a few other series. I think one was called The Singing Detective, which is basically the same idea. Really great stuff. I mean, just stuff you would never see on American TV. Not that American TV sucks, but a completely different style.
Yeah.
And sensibility and everything.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So Hot or Not. So UFOs, unless the X-Files makes it popular again, or unless a UFO does something crazy, I'm going to say it's going to be a cold year for UFOs. I think it's going to be a good year for Bigfoot, but
yeah.
maybe more of the same. I think we'll see more sort of like, I think the ghost thing is turning into just a supernatural thing. I think,
yeah.
Ghost is turning into like exorcisms, possessions, demon type shit and creepy dolls and just creepiness. Creepy is the idea, I guess,
on a different note, maybe a cult.
Yeah, exactly. A cult, exactly.
Somebody just opened a cafe in L.A. here, and it has an occult theme. So I don't know if they're anticipating the trend or what.
I think they're on the right track, because I think the occult is going to be, it's already sort of embodied by that ridiculous exorcism live thing. I think that's going to be big. I think the conspiracy thing will just keep going as a conspiracy with these attacks and shit. I think those, you know, there'll be more attacks. They'll range in size from small to hopefully not too big. Hopefully not at all.
Yeah,
but
if there's more attacks, the conspiracy thing will explode because people will don't people will have fears and they won't like the explanations that they get.
Exactly.
Oh, kind of like they didn't act like the explanation of one thing we didn't talk about, which was that thing out off of California a couple months ago that the missile test, which people still refuse to say it was a missile test because the government said it, so they must be lying.
Right.
So the government lies every single time. What can the government do with the what can people in the government do and in counterintelligence do when nobody believes anything they say? They can use that.
Exactly.
Tell them exactly what's happening so that they think that that's not what's happening.
Yeah. Well, it's frustrating. You know, we laugh about the year in review and how it's like a bitch fest, cynical. But it's like, to the people who refuse to believe that it was a missile test, it's like, you know, it's sort of a jujitsu response in a way, but it's like, okay, fine, I'll take your side. It's a UFO. What fucking difference did it make? None.
It made no difference. Even when you tell people, look, here are five videos that look exactly the same that are missile tests.
Right.
And they look at it and think, nope, those are UFOs too. Or, nope, that's different.
Okay. Exactly.
Whatever.
It's like,
yeah, it makes no difference. That's the other thing that we've bitched and moaned about. What, another UFO video? Yeah, so what? That's how I felt about the Roswell slide.
Yeah.
Another stupid thing that's not going to make any difference to anybody outside of the field.
Yeah, it's like, folks, don't cling to shit. Don't cling to shit that, you know, if there's no point in nostalgia. It didn't really, you know, if it doesn't make a difference, then don't cling to it. Let it go, whether you believe it or not, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. What did I say? Conspiracies are going to be, you know, the same as always with conspiracies. I think I feel like the election and the global tension sort of outweigh the conspiracies in a way. People, kind of like what we talked about with 9/11, people didn't have time for UFOs afterwards. I think with the election and this sort of global war going on, I feel like people almost don't have time for conspiracies in a weird way. Ironically enough, I just feel that way. I don't know. I think people feel like they're genuinely threatened and not by the government, so therefore they have the blinders up, I guess is the best way to put it. Kind of like after 9/11, no one would talk about the 9/11 truth thing for like a few years, you know?
Yeah, well, they just didn't want, they wanted to hear things that made them feel comforted, not worried.
Yeah, not more worried. You know, it's like, wait, shit, so you're telling me this 9/11 thing happened and the government did it?
Yeah.
Like, at that point, like, you're freaking out, so.
Yeah.
Big things for the new year, like I said, Bigfoot will probably do pretty well for itself, and cryptozoology is getting better and better. People like it a lot. Space, I think, is going to be big. And the occult, like we talked about earlier, the sort of natural segue from ghosts to general sort of taboo creepiness. I think those are the big three things that we'll see more of this year. And hopefully something will come along that'll be really crazy and interesting.
Well, I hope so. You know, you always hope there's like a game changer. And if not, at least something that is more than a bauble, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I'd have to go back and look, and I may be wrong about like that it all happened in 1 year, but I'm pretty sure it did. But there was like, 1 year we did this, and it was like Stephenville, the Bigfoot body hoax, and like the explosion of ghost hunting all in 1 year. It was like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
So you never know. It could be a big year. It could be another more of the same. But who knows? I feel like if I was going to make a prediction, though, I feel like I think with the election, I don't know, these round years, these leap years, I just feel like things happen. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be sort of a year of change in a way. I'm feeling it personally, so I you know, I feel like.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah.
I finally settled into my non-traditional employment status and trying to move forward with that. So, yeah, for me, yeah, a lot of change.
Yeah, and I've had more change in the last, like, 3 months than I've had, like, in the last 5 years. So it's been that tumultuous for me. So I feel like maybe that's going on with everybody else, or maybe it's just me, but it seems like a lot of people are experiencing change. So who knows?
Yeah, well, you're going to have to at a certain point.
Exactly. Change is good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got what, 5 minutes left? Let me, let me do, we'll probably dribble over a little bit, but I feel like we covered pretty much everything. And the website for you is RadioMysterioso.com, correct?
Yes, that's still the website, or if you want to look at old magazines, SalutedMiddle.com, and that's about it. And then I'm editing a book that's a collection of stuff from UFO Mystic, which I recently discovered has been pulled off of the internet. I can't find it anywhere.
Again?
So, yeah.
Well, you can't even get it on the Wayback Machine?
Nope.
Shouldn't have mentioned you were getting it off of there. Someone... So it's
that's okay. I don't care. I mean, people that know that where it was could find it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I think there's some glitch on it now. They may have fixed it, but there was some glitch on it at least a couple weeks ago that had been going on for about a month where I couldn't access any of it.
Weird.
The thing is that if you go on the Wayback Machine, it's very painstaking to try and go through everything because it's not. The links don't always work. And
the navigation's all fucked up.
The navigation's really weird on it. So you could find most of the stuff I wrote. But I just cherry-picked the ones I thought were good. And then on top of that, I wrote, I think, three new pieces. And then I got two or three new pieces. Not new pieces, but old ones that were either, you know, published once or never published before.
Yeah.
There's one. It was a piece I read on my friend Robert Larson's radio show. It's called Laughter Spells Death. It was about taking LSD and then thinking I was my friend and I were going to laugh so hard we were going to laugh ourselves to death. And we watched Bugs Bunny cartoons and that was a big mistake. Then I ran outside and the whole sky was filled with UFOs. Anyway, there's a piece in there on that and
nice.
A response to a bad review of Project Beta that I never.
nice.
Yeah, and just little things here and there that haven't seen the light of day or haven't seen the light of day for many years. So you know, it's not just a bunch of old stuff from UFO Mystic. There's actually
new stuff.
A couple of new things and a few old things that people that I mean I've got pre UFO Mystic stuff on there too.
Nice. So it's like a whole treasure trove of stuff. Now the question, of course, that everybody wants to know is when are they going to be able to get this book?
Well, I'm doing the index, so I'm trying to get it done by the end of this month. So sometime after that, because it's self-published, so I'm going to have to, you know, submit it to the place, make sure that the proof looks good. So probably within 2 months, maybe at the outside.
All right, nice.
So I'm really trying to get it finished. Oh, and Red Pill Junkie did the illustration.
Oh, nice. Red Pill Junkie's a fantastic artist.
Well, I didn't know this until I was talking to him once, and he said, oh, here's some caricatures I made. I was like, I didn't know you did this.
You yeah, know, no, he's awesome. He's done a whole shitload of mine on
Nick
my Facebook
and me
page.
And I think Mac Tony's. And I said, you want to do some illustrations for my book? So he said, yeah.
Well, that's the British lady.
Yeah. So he did an illustration for each chapter and the cover, which is beautiful. And I couldn't think of a name for the book until just a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I did a cut-up, which basically I took the introduction and a couple other things and threw them in a cut-up generator, and I just started reading it to see what phrases jumped out at me. And one of them was, it defies language. So that's the name of the book.
Nice. I like that. It defies language. That's good.
Yeah, it defies language. Essays on UFOs and other weirdness.
That's a great title. I love it.
I know, which I really liked it because it's a book that's called It Defies Language.
Yeah, it's very good. I like that a lot. I like that. All right, well, the British lady's going to count us off or kick us off in a minute. We're going to keep rolling just for like 5 minutes so I can give folks an update on what the hell's going on with Banal of America. Not much of an update, but at least some kind of guidepost. Don't hang up, Greg, though, so...
Okay.
'Cause you never know. So I might all of a sudden be like, we never talked about Jared from Subway. So I was going to put him in the image thing, but then I was like, I can't defile the year in review by mentioning Jared from Subway on our graphic.
He's not Jared from Subway.
Yeah. How fucking weird. Well, we're off the air now. Thanks to all the folks who tuned in live, and thanks to the folks in the chat room for bailing us out in the in the off time when things went down. Yeah, the only other thing that I kind of noticed, I guess, but it kind of goes more to like 2014, but it's just like scandals, celebrities. It's like this whole culture of like build somebody up and tear them down. And, you know, it's like people just are just, it just seems like it gets worse every year. You know, I mean,
It does, and I don't pay any attention to it whatsoever, and I never have. Maybe it has something to do with me being a guy and the age I'm at, but I don't care.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
I don't even know what's going on or who's involved in a scandal or anything, really. I know about Jared from Subway, but
how could you
know? Other than that, you know, all I ever see once in a while is like, look at the crazy shit that happened in Florida again.
Oh, yeah, you gotta love Florida.
That's about all I see. I don't really, you know, there's like 400 links wherever you go. It's like, you know, what is Kim Kardashian doing this week with, you know, with her douche or something? Like, I never click on those things. Or, you know, who looks good in a bikini? And like,
yeah. No. Yeah. Well, I you know, I'm a victim of the news cycle. So I guess you need to get a lot of this shit. But
yeah. Well, I told you I was going to give you a t-shirt that said clickbait on it.
Yeah. No kidding. well, that does it for the year in review, folks. Welcome to 2016. Goodbye, 2015. This is probably the most, I say this every year, but I think this one takes the cake for the most haphazard year in review we've ever done. I guess I'll segue now into a small update on things. I mentioned this like on the last few shows now. It's my life is chaos still. It's just absolutely chaotic. I'm sitting in a little tiny room that's not where we normally tape in all of America, at a little tiny desk that's like made for a child, and yep. In a freezing cold room. And I haven't actually hosted a Banal of America from where we traditionally host the show since the Eric Wallet episode back in like August or September. So
why are you in this cold little room at a tiny desk?
Cause my phone line got all messed up and I haven't had the time to figure out why my phone line only works in one room of the house. So,
oh, okay.
It's very annoying. So I eventually had to move the landline, the landline Radio Shack phone, and just plug it into my modem. So I have a phone line here, as opposed to normally we have the portable phone plugged in. That way you don't really need to worry about where the base is. You know what I mean? So,
right.
So that's the gist.
Yeah, I had to move everything out in the other room for coast to coast because I can't keep my wife up at, you know, 2-3 in the morning.
But I'm working on a new home office, which should be done, you know, by the end of the month. And hopefully by then, things will be a little more settled in, at least as far as, like, recording the show and everything. Because it's such an inconvenience that that's part of it, too, where I'm like, just kind of brings me down, I guess, way to put it. I don't want to talk too much about what's going on in my life, I guess you could say, but I've got a new job. It's going really well. Folks will probably hear more about it, I hope, in the weeks and months to come. It's taking up a lot of my time, but I'm really enjoying it, and I'm having an absolute blast. And that's pretty much why Banal of America has been slow, since, like, Thanksgiving. But I expect... This is episode 829, which means we wrap it up at 833, so we've got 4 shows left this season. So I hope and expect to I think I pretty much have the final 4 already sort of lined up because I've been trying to schedule guests and stuff, but just haven't had the time to tape shows. So the gist of it is I'd say probably over the next 2 months we'll wrap up season 9 with the final 4 episodes of the season, and then I'll have to, you know, make some kind of decision about what the deal is with season 10 and when season 10 will start. I can almost assure you, though, if I, like, let's say I wrap up season 9 on Valentine's Day, then there's a good chance that season 10 won't premiere till like, 4th of July. Like, I'm going to take a serious break here because I like to be able to sort of have the wind in my sails or whatever that expression is, and I don't really like this start and stop, style of doing the show, so I want to be able to really have everything planned out before we push the snowball down the hill for season 10. But we still got 4 more shows in season 9, and they should be coming at you over the course of the next couple of months. That's the gist of it, and don't worry about me, I'm doing great. So
Excellent.
Yeah, I think that covers it. Let me just do the plugs. If you're listening to this, if you're still listening to this and you have no idea who we are and everything, I don't know what you're, I don't know why you're listening to this.
Why are you even here?
Yeah. but you can find more of this at Banal of America. So head on over to banalofamerica.com, B-I-N-N-A-L-L of America.com. That's where you can find a ton more shows, a bunch with me and Greg wrapping up the year, and a bunch with a whole bunch of other folks talking about all different kinds of topics in the world of paranormal. We're also on Facebook, punch in Banal of America, same spelling and all that good stuff. Like us on Facebook. That's really about it. I guess if you want to make a donation, there's a donation link at Banal of America. You can also mail us one at the P.O. Box. The address is at BOA. And, you know, in a sense, I feel bad because we've really kind of like hit the skids over the last couple of months. But in the greater sense of everything, folks, trust me, it's for the best. It's only going to get bigger and better from here. And it's really good. Good roads ahead, I guess you could say. I think I made that expression up. But there's good roads ahead, as Tim Banal once said. so hang in there. And we'll get you to those good roads. Don't worry about that. And thank you, you know, folks, for your support of the program. I really do appreciate it. It's been a long, long ride, and the ride will continue for quite some time. So thank you so much for your support. Thank you, Greg, for coming back on the show. Much appreciated, my friend.
No problem. Anytime. I hope to remain interesting for years to come, at least to be able to come back on the show.
Absolutely, buddy. All right, folks. Until next time, this is Tim Banal. Thank you for listening and signing off.